go further. That's where I go to the third one, which is tied to this. The implication. There is when the word come, hear, is that means there is the need to cultivate our ability to hear and to understand. Because the principle is very simple in the scripture. Hearing, listening, understanding does not come automatically. Even if you are sincere. Even if we love God, there is the requirement to press in. I'll give you some principle. Why Daniel understood more? Because Daniel pressed in. The key about Daniel is actually Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 14. He set his heart for understanding. He wasn't casual about it. That's why Daniel is one of the men in the Bible who has the most revelation about what God is going to do at the end of the age, because he pressed in. He set his heart. He didn't assume that automatically he will understand. That's where we need to cultivate. That is the requirement for the intentional and the deliberate cultivating. Okay, how? The key, I say many times, is actually the principle from Revelation chapter 10, verse 9. Means eat the scroll. Or don't literally eat it. Eat the scroll. That means study the message, the forerunner message. Digest it through prayer, fasting, and meditation. No, when I say digest it, so it's not so much so that you know how to say it, but that you know what is the heart of God and what He is saying. Because the goal at the end of the day is to have a living understanding in our heart, not information, not able to say something. Because when crisis hit us, that's where a real test will come, where do we have a word and do we do not have a word. This is not about preparing a script. That's why I like Q&A sessions. It's the best test of whether I understand. And I have the ultimate, at least for me, this week or last week, Q&A sessions where I have to answer some questions in perspective of what is happening in the mini crisis. I felt that I passed the test. I felt, because people will minister to and they find hope and confidence in the Lord, where so many will be so easily waver. That is a vital thing that God needs. Okay, and my word, write this down. I make sure I write it down. Don't settle for initial or superficial stirring of our mind. Don't. You heard the message last Friday. What are we going to do about it? Don't settle for initial or superficial stirring of our mind. Feed our spirit with the message. Ensure that it strikes our heart. My prayer always, that's why, you know why, after I teach today, Monday, if the recording is downloaded, I hear it again. I want the word of God to strike my heart. It's not just, you know, evaluating, oh, I better say something better so that I improve in my teaching. I want my heart to be stirred. I want my heart to be strike again like a fire, like a hammer. Because you know why? If we leave it there, the initial stirring will eventually evaporate and fade away. Trust me. Whatever that I said last Friday, if you don't press in more, another month you will forget about the seriousness of what we talk about from Psalms 2. It's just the reality. That's why Jesus warned us. No, yes, life is tough. I'll answer another question about life is tough one. We are all busy. But Jesus answered that question. There are three things that will cause us to be totally unready at the end of the age. It's called the cares of life. No, he didn't say that it's unimportant. He said that we have to rearrange. That is the key thing. That's why my prayer is, I'm not contented until my heart burns with understanding. Like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. I want my heart to burn. No, that's why I'm excited. I feel totally weak this last 2 weeks physically. But I felt the heart is burning. That's what I want. Okay. So that's the third thing. Third thing. Is it the third thing? Okay. Fourth thing about hearing. Fourth thing. It takes the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to grasp it. it takes the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to grasp it. That's why it takes grace. To hear and to understand with clarity. The word is always with clarity. More and more, general is not going to help. We need to have clarity. That's where prayer is so vital. Why God calls for a sacred assembly in such a time as this? So that His heart will be revealed. Prayer is not an option. No. Prayer is not an option. Okay. Revelation and understanding is low. It's often because of the low level of prayer. Pray. Ask God for understanding. We can understand because Jeremiah make it very clear. Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 29, where prophet Jeremiah said this, we will understand perfectly, but as it's at the place of prayer and intercession where we bathe our study with prayer and birth our understanding through prayers. That is the key thing. Okay. Actually, God give a word through someone to us. Okay. I'm not going to say it now because it's on record. People may think that we are proud. No, no, no. It's because of what we have been faithfully doing over the last 11 years at the place of prayer, at the place of waiting. Even when we are weak, music not good, whatever, but we do it faithfully at the place of prayer and the place of waiting. God will give the word to us because we are like John the Baptist in the wilderness. I think he was, I think his condition probably worse than us. I mean, at least he got air condition. He was at the desert. How cold can it be in the desert? And he eat locusts, drink honey, where, that one we are a little bit worse now. We don't even have locusts to eat. Now, I hear the last 11 years we have. Okay, no. Now, the key is this. God will speak because we have been at the place of prayer, even in our weakness, faithfully. Don't even think that all this last 11 years is nothing. No. Let other people criticize. Music is boring and so on. Anointing, no anointing. I'm clear and I'm confident that God is speaking to us. That is the key thing. Fifth, which is so vital. Fifth thing, true hearing and understanding has to give rise to a response, change, and action. True hearing and understanding has to give rise to a response, change, and action. That's what it means in the Bible. In the Bible, hearing is more than just physical hearing or listening to our ears. When we have heard and we understand, we will respond. We will do something about it. When we hear and we do not do anything about it, the scripture defines it as that we have not heard. That's Isaiah 6. Hearing but not perceiving. Seeing but not understanding. It's like you see like a blind man. You hear like a deaf man. Every time you hear in the scripture, if you hear, you truly have received the word, you will respond. You know why? The word of God is not neutral. If you really have received the word of God, your heart will be stirred and cause you to do something. Give you two warnings, okay, especially for us in the house because we are the most vulnerable because you hear this week in, week out and we have almost every night now, we have session because we can get used to it. The greatest danger is we get used to it and we say that there will be next week. People ask me on Sunday, will the corporate bride be ready? No, will the church be ready to be the bride? My answer is always this. The corporate bride will be ready. Individually, it's determined by you and me. There will be a corporate bride that will rise up. But will I be in it? It all depends on how I live right now. Don't assume. No, I said, oh, okay, so hard saying, man. No, I'm saying this out of I care enough. If not, I don't want to say a thing. I mean, why I want to say an unpopular thing? I also like to be popular. Oh, actually, not true. Okay, two warnings. two warnings about this true hearing and understanding. Don't be casual with the message that we have received. Don't be casual. Don't. Go deep on it. In fact, I want to tell the young people, set aside time, study together. Set a topic every 3 months. Keep going. Be patient. Be diligent. Be intentional. You will understand. You will get it. But you have to stay focused. But don't be casual. Don't. You know why? If we keep hearing and we are casual and we do not respond, our spirit will eventually become dull. It's just a natural process. If our heart is not gripped by it, eventually we will explain it away. It's called the scoffer spirit. It's in 2 Peter. Be intentional. Be casual. No, not be casual. Be intentional. Don't be casual. You know, I'm tired. Don't be casual. If you don't respond, you will become dull eventually because is there anything new? You know, especially, I always worry for people go from conference to conference to conference to conference. They always end up, at the end of the day, they'll say, is there anything new? The question is not, is there anything new? The truth of the matter is, whatever God is saying right now is about the same. Love Him, seek intimacy, pray. But the question is not, is there anything new? The question is, have you responded yet? Have you done anything about it yet? So, that in a sense, there isn't anything much new right now because we haven't fully responded wholeheartedly. Why we want anything new? Anyway, if God give you anything new, you're not going to do anything about it, or I'm not going to do anything about it. That's why it's so vital. We have to respond. Second warning is this. Second warning. Don't dilute or lower the requirement of God. Don't dilute or lower the requirement of God. Don't justify by our lack of response, whether it's difficult or whatever. Ask God for grace. See, the Bible makes it very clear. Everything that God requires, He will empower us with grace. The question is not difficult or hard. The question is, how much do you want it? That is the question. It's always the question because it's the same. You know, people always ask me, wow, this house of prayer thing is hard. No, this 400 message is hard. Must full-time or part-time or whatever. That is not even the relevant question because not everybody is called to be full-time. The question is very simple. Is this what God wants? Second, the question is not, It's difficult. Full-time or part-time or no time is still difficult. The question is, how much do you want? And then you rearrange your life, you pray. Because each to our measure, I can pray 10 hours a week coming to the house. Not every one of us can. But it's how much do you want? And from there, things will begin to fall in place. Don't look at the difficulty part. Look at the how much do you want? And what is the requirement of God? Because at the end of the day, if you answer these two questions, there will be grace. God's grace will be sufficient. See, a lot of time we stop short that it's difficult. Of course it's difficult. If it's easy, everybody would have done it already. The question is, how much do I want? If I want, whether I work, whatever, NPARK or so on, no, I'm not just highlighting the point, not talking about whatever is working at NPARK. I will rearrange my life, and God will give you grace because of the difficulty that you have. Because maybe 1 week you only have 2 hours. 1 week, Kei Chong had 10 hours. That 2 hours, God will multiply with grace, and you do it diligently, you will accomplish so much more than my 10 hours. That is grace. We don't compare. So the question is not difficult. The question is, what does God want? And the next question is, how much do you want? You want the Word of God? You have to wrestle. You have to wrestle. How much do you want? So the question is not whether, and the worst thing we get into is to compare. There's nothing to compare. Every one of us are different. We are called differently and so on. We wire differently. But grace is sufficient. The two ultimate questions is, what does God want? How much do you want? If you want it so badly, you think God will not pour out His grace to empower you? That is the thing. That's why you need to learn to ask the right questions. How much do you want? That is the thing. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2. This is the second exhortation, which I tell you is so important, especially for the people of God right now. You know what? Basically, it's still at verse 1. Basically, what Joel is saying is this. Everyone needs to hear. Everyone needs to develop the ability to hear and understand. With no exception, everybody has to learn to hear. That's why Joel 1, verse 2, the second part, or rather the same verse, he said this. Hear this. What is the first category of people? You, elders, give ears, all you, inhabitants of the land. Circle the word elders, circle the word all you inhabitants. That means everybody, don't just let the pastors hear for you. Every one of us need to hear. The call to hear, of course, the call to hear firstly begin with a spiritual leader. Leader has to set an example and live the heart, a lifestyle that enhances hearing. And one of the things to enhance hearing is prayer, at the place of prayer. That's why this is my priority, is burning at the house, buying oil. Leaders must firstly get on our knees to pray and seek God's heart. Prayer is the thing that you can never delegate. The moment a leader delegates prayer in wherever they are, organization, church, ministry, the culture of prayer will eventually die. It begins with the leader. One example, just write it down. No time to turn to it. Acts 6, verse 1 to 7. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Remember what happened in the church? They're growing. They're growing. So there are a lot of invitations, no, go around the world. Honoring them is good, no, 10,000 every time and so on. This is my own story. I tell you, most of us will have choose that option. Because on the platform, it's nice, you know, it's in the so-called real action is. But how did the apostles respond? They chose 7 men and delegate all this to them. They stay at the place of prayer and study of the word and teaching the word. No, I'm not saying that you basically don't do anything, you know, just don't care. No, no, no. It's an issue of priority. They stay at the place of prayer and the teaching of the word. To teach the word, that means they need to dig in and understand the very heart of God through the word. Okay, write this down. Which I'm praying for our nation. The greatest gift that God can give to a nation is men and women of God in leadership with the spirit of revelation and understanding. The greatest, not charisma, not you can talk more and whatever. The greatest gift is that you have revelation and understanding. That is the greatest gift. I share with you just now, one of the greatest crisis that happened September 11. People die, all these are sad, it's bad. But it's that the church in America has no understanding. They let that opportunity slip by. Because the leadership has no understanding. The greatest gift is God can give to a nation is leaders that have revelation and understanding from the heart of God. 2 examples. Daniel, which he interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And the second one is even better, Joseph. Joseph, because of his understanding, he averted a crisis in Egypt. Crisis will come. The greatest gift is when we have understanding and revelation of God's heart. We know what to say and what does God want. That's what the nation needs. Now, I talk about that. There are major crises that's coming, moral crisis, financial crisis, truth crisis. I tell you, this is not the major number one problem. You know what's a major number one problem? Is that we don't have a voice. We have no revelation. We have no understanding. That will be a tragic when that happened. The church, including ourselves as a house of prayer, we have no voice, we have no understanding. That's where we really need to contend and hear. And I'm praying, I'm expecting. If I tell God, you invite me, I'm gonna ask for it. Next week, the main prayer is, God, give your word to us. And I say, give your word to us, I'm not talking about has to be in this house. It can be a church down the road or whatever. Just send the word so that when the word of God is spoken, nation tremble. Nation tremble. Okay, I tell you, all problems can be answered if the church have understanding and the church has revelation. That's why the question, you know, I ask a lot of questions this few weeks. The question for Singapore in Jubilee is really this: what is God saying? What is God's heart and will for Singapore? And how should we pray? But this verse apply more than just to spiritual leader. Okay, they say, Heng, I'm not leader. Listen, he said, hear this, you elders, give ear, you, all you inhabitants of the land. The need to hear applies to everyone. Not just spiritual leader, everyone. We all need to learn to hear and to hear correctly, okay? Yeah, that's why I would say, not that I have a very long cocktail or I have all the understanding, but I just want to, inverted comma, force an issue. Don't write on my cocktail. My cocktail is very short, really. Don't. Let's go to the second half of verse 2. Second half of verse 2. Joel said this. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your fathers? You must understand what happened is this, that unprecedented locust invasions, okay? I mean, I was doing a little bit of research. They're talking about that. How many? I can't remember. Was it 500 million locusts that invaded Israel and totally wrecked their agriculture? Everything is gone. And after that, when... You see, we all worry about locust invasion. Something happened after the locust invasion because the locusts die. Left about 50 tons of dead locusts that created havoc like diseases and so on. So the agriculture was affected. The economy was affected. Whatever you have. That's what happened. Okay. But what Joel is saying is that this is unprecedented. He's trying to drive home a point because in moment like this, we need to interpret it correctly. And especially in times like this, he's talking about that unprecedented magnitude of what was happening in our day, as well as what is going to happen in our day. Okay, this is so prophetic because we are really entered into a season of divine character that will result in much change, much shifting. You know, we are literally living out Haggai 2. Everything is shaking. Everything is shaking. Many of the things that we are walking through right now is really unfamiliar, uncharted water. That is the key thing. That's what Joel is saying in the second half. Has anything like this happened in your days? Or even in the days of your fathers? This is totally unprecedented. Okay. If you think that the locust invasion for Joel 1 is unfamiliar, what we are going to face is even going to be totally unfamiliar, and we are really racing towards there. We are racing towards there. Okay, next verse 3 describes the importance of really understanding, and more than just understanding, saying it. Not necessarily just apply to the children, even though here talk about the four generation of children. But the key is that it's so important that we have to say it so that people understand. And I will talk a little bit about the children as I go on that. Okay, verse 3 said this. Tell your children about it. That means your children, the next generation. But don't stop there. Gerard said this. Let your children tell their children. Okay, this verse is not saying that there will be another four generations. So no, it's just talking about it. It's so important. You need to say it to everybody and everyone has to understand, regardless of age. Okay, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children another generation. Now it's a third generation. And their children another generation. See, this is so crucial. Joel gives actually a four-generation mandate. Everyone needs to know. No one is too young to know or to prepare to understand this. Because the call is really to Joel 2 lifestyle in verse 12 to verse 17, a lifestyle of fasting, prayer, wholeheartedness, not living life business as usual. No. Not living life business as usual. I tell you why. Why sometimes I push, you know, this children equipping thing or whatever. I think it's because of the program. No, I don't care about the program. We don't even need to put in the odd chart. The reason is that they need to be prepared. They need to know. If they don't have this lifestyle, they are not going to make it. I say, wow, this is harsh. This is what the Word of God says. So that's content. This is not about, you know, children and community program. People know that we have good kids. They come to the mind and pray and show off. Wow, so I'll keep praying, you know. Wow. And take some video and show off to the world. You know, we have this powerful program. Come, sign up so we make some money. No. This is not about it. And I challenge the parents, take this seriously. We really need to pray for our children. So they say, yeah, but your standard is so high. It's not my standard. This is God's standard. If it's God's standard, you think they cannot live it out, we have to pray for them. You see, when I came back from Kansas City, if you all still remember, I insist, kids need to read the Bible. Don't give them the pictorial Bible. I know your face, struggle and so on. Is that an issue right now? No. We just have to help them to get used to it. Now the next challenge is that we have to teach them, get them to pray and engage in the prayer room. Is it because so that we have more crowd? Okay, John is happy. Two kids come and pray. No, that's not the point. Because they need it. They need to encounter God. And this does not just apply to children. Don't think that, you know, come this, I make my duty. I pray already. Even these 50 days. No, there's no quota one. You can come as many nights as you can. Don't go on this. Yeah, I come on Tuesday already. Next week then come. No, contend. This is about contending for our destiny, contending for our nation's destiny. Why do we want to take shortcut? If we take shortcut here and there, the loser is ourselves. Whatever you press in right now, you will reap for yourselves when the time comes. But the children, my heart, I pray hard for them is because I concern for them. They are going to need it. It's true. It's true. Let's go to verse 4. Verse 4. Verse 4 is so vital because there is this four successive wave of locust invasions. Okay. You know why? It's a very important verse because, you know why God allows four waves? You know, it's like if you read verse 4, first is a chewing locust. Then chewing locust is gone. Then the swarming locust. Swarming locust gone. Then the clawing locust gone. Then consuming locust. It's like, you know, you're in this position, you know, the nation is, they must say, wow, really sway. After that chewing locust, wow, hang, finish. Then, wow, another wave. Then another wave. And now it's a really sway. You know why? You know, do you know that we are actually seeing it right now? Wave after wave after wave of so-called shaking that is coming. You know why? Because we are not interpreting it correctly. Either we are not interpreting it correctly or we are staying in the place of complacency or we are not paying attention and we do not understand. That's why God, out of His grace and mercy, He keeps shouting. He keeps shouting. I tell you, someone asked me a question on Sunday, you know. I don't really know. So what do you expect? I tell you, all of us, when we stand before God one day, He said, God, you didn't tell me. You didn't make it clear to me. I did not know. I tell you, God will press a button. He began to show every incident that he makes it so clear to us. Say, did I not tell it to you? And we have no answer. That's why we have to be alert and prepare, because God will not. You see, God cannot judge us if he has not already spoken to us. We all will have no words to say. You say, wow, so many times that you have spoken, your rebuke on me is right. So many times. So this is what that verse is all about. You know, chewing locusts, swarming locusts, clawing locusts, consuming locusts, because they have not paid attention. They remain unresponsive. Give you four lessons that we can learn. Four lessons. The first one is this. When all the sign that is happening, do we understand the time and season? Do we understand the time and season? This is vital. Second, do we know what God is saying? Do we know what God is saying? Third, are we being complacent? Are we being complacent? That we are most vulnerable to this, especially in the house, thinking that we still have time. No, it's okay. Slowly. It's you know, do you realize that we have been doing this for 11 years, coming to 12? Yes, every day seems slowly, but time zip by. It's just crazy. Don't remain at the place of complacency. Rearrange, reorder. Yeah. The issue is not easy or difficult. The issue is how much do you want? There will be grace. That is the key thing. And don't lower the requirement of God. No, yeah, I know it's hard one. Everywhere is hard. Like Kansas City is hard too. I just met some of them. Yeah, they struggle about the same thing as we struggle. What's the struggle? Money. Money. Time. That kind of things. Okay. Point four. Do we know what God wants and requires of us? That's the four things we can learn. Okay. Let's go to verse actually, more than verse 5. You know, that's why, after all this, there are five words that... In verse 5, Joel cried out with three words that is so sobering, but is so vital. It's the word awake, weep, wail. Awake, weep, wail. Let me read verse 5. Awake, you drunkards. And weep. Circle the word awake. Circle the word weep. And wail. No, I'm not saying literally we cry father, cry mother. It's a call to respond. Awake, you drunkard, and weep and wail. All you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. What does the three words mean? Awake. Awake means, are we sleeping? Are we sleeping, or do we understand? Because it's time to be wise and watch. Remember, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the very first message of the year, I think should be 2011. I talk about God is inviting us to be the house of the wise and watchful. Have we forgotten that word? Are we awake or are we sleeping? Turn to me to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13. No, I'm sharing some of this so that I hope that we will stir our hearts to the urgency of prayers, coming at the place of prayer. There won't be any easier time to do it. It won't be. It will not. Okay. Verse 11 says this. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of slumber. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believe. No, this is not talking about you say the sinner's prayer, today you die, you go to heaven. No, this is talking about the returning of Jesus. That is our ultimate salvation. Listen to verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That means you're going to live circumspectively and live it right. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. Revelry means basically your life is okay, just enjoy. You know what's drunkenness? Drunkenness means, you know, someone who is drunk does not understand what is happening. That is the thing. Okay. Not in lewdness, talking about immorality and so on. And last, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Turn with me to, turn back to Joel 1. Awake. Second is weep and wail. That means time to get serious. No, I'm not asking tomorrow come weep and wail, okay? Don't tomorrow come everybody put on sackcloth. No, I think it's one thing they say got a funeral or what. No. No, basically, weep and wail is, that means time to get serious with God. Time not to live life business as usual. Time to adjust, rearrange, reorder. Again, I know it's hard, difficult. If it's that important, you have. No, I'm not asking you don't go to school or quit job and so on. I use the word rearrange. Reorder. There will always be something that will squeeze out your time. It's how do you do it? That's where you ask God for grace. Not to lower the requirement, but you ask God for grace. That is the key thing. Okay? That's the key thing. Just write this down. No time to read to you. Luke 21, verse 34 to 35, which talk about three issues that cause people to totally have no awareness. Cares of life, carousal, and drunkenness. Okay. Let's go to verse 8 and 9. Joel 1, verse 8 and 9. Now Joel warned. Okay, just read through. It's a chunk. But basically, Joel 1, verse 8 and 9, he's warning that no one will be immune to the crisis. That's where he lists out three different category of people: husband, priest, farmers. Okay, husband, that means talking about family. Whether you're kids, no kids, single, everybody will be affected. So no, you don't understand. It's easier, you know, you are single, you're adult or whatever. No, we all will face the same storm. Don't compare. The key is don't compare. But no one will be immune. No one will be. The first category is husband. Second is priest. Okay, priest is more than just spiritual. The crazy thing is this, even spiritual leader will be affected. So no one is spared. Okay, but the word priest can also mean, because during those times, actually, you know, you understand caste system. In the ancient days, priests actually holds very high position. It can be referring to upper class people or aristocrat. So it doesn't mean that you reach your money, you know, you stay, whatever, you are spared from this crisis. Everybody, no exception, no one will be immune. Third one, farmers, working class. Yeah, talking about the working class. Everybody will be affected. White collar, blue collar, you have degree, no degree, everybody will be affected. I'm going to conclude with Joel 1, verse 8. Joel 1, verse 8. Basically, it's a call. Joel said this, lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. I tell you, it's such a lousy and horrible analogy. You know what this analogy is all about? The virgin bride is about to get married. In the process of going to the wedding, the bridegroom dies. So she has to change her wedding gown to a sackcloth, you know. Basically, what Joel is saying is that it's going to be sudden, it's going to be serious, you're going to take it so seriously. Make it a top priority. It is so, so serious. I'll end with this. I'm now going to go to the last respond part because I have no time. I'm going to just get us to pray into groups to pray. I said that last Friday. There's no better time to respond. This, in fact, will be the easiest. It's going to get harder. It's going to get harder. It's going to get harder. We have, I mean, we the key is, again, what God wants, and ask God for grace, and we say yes. You know, every time we say yes and we respond correctly, God will give us grace. God will give us grace. Going to read verse 2, then I'm going to get us to get into groups just to pray. Now, pray for Singapore too. Pray too for the word of God to come. Our nation needs it. Our nation needs it. Joel 1 verse 2 says this. Hear this, you elders. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. It's vital to hear and to understand and to respond.